I like that. Praise the Lord. We're going this morning to be receiving a special offering. How many of you have noticed that the economy is kind of in a mess? I want to give you the good news first. The good news is you people have just kept your giving up just tremendously. I praise God for that. You've been faithful. God has blessed. But as those of you that come up on the parking lot service after service, somebody you need to know, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I've got 7 pages of notes. God bless you. I hope you like cold pizza or cold Chinese. I'm just kidding. I'll go through this. I'll try not to get hung up on any place, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot to talk about. And I'd like for us to open our hearts to God today. Because there are people that come to this congregation Sunday after Sunday that have let it be known, hey, you know what? I'm not used to all this tongue-talking stuff. I'm not used to it. But you know what? I like it. It's right, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. It's right. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Give the Holy Spirit a clap offering today. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for being among us, blessing us. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name today, I ask you, Lord, to touch my heart, my lips of clay, my mental faculties, my ability to recall. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God would have His way today amidst people who are hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be filled with Your Spirit today in this service, this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm beginning this journey this morning in Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 through 8. Dr. Luke writes this book of Acts. Dr. Luke wrote the book bearing his name. The only Gentile writer in Scripture. And he was a physician. If the Lord chose a physician to write 2 of the most powerful books in the Bible, I believe God is not against medical science. God blesses medical science and uses medical science to help us. Are you with me on that? So Dr. Luke writes, and he refers to the former treatise. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had through the Holy Ghost given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I've titled this message this morning, Power from On High. Allow me, please, to share one memory, just one. I was 15 years of age, God had called me to preach, and I would preach anywhere. I would preach to the cows, the chickens, the roosters. I would preach to church people if I got half a chance. I'd preach in rest homes. I'd preach anywhere I could get an opportunity to preach. I was ready. I was primed. I was full and running over. And one Monday night, I went to a youth rally, and you will recognize the little building I'm talking about. It's about one block east of Sherwin Williams Paint, up there on sitting on the hill. I can't remember what the current name of the church is, but I was preaching, or I went to a youth rally that night at that church. I walked in and sat down. They had a preacher already scheduled to preach. But this preacher got up to preach, and he said, "Folks, I want to tell you something tonight you probably didn't know. I'm not going to preach tonight. Brother Hatfield is." And I got up, and God set my soul on fire. And for the next 20 or 30 minutes, I preached on power from on high. I will not promise you that I'm going to get that exuberant this morning. I have a few years on me. But I want to tell you, the message has not changed. God is still God, and there is still power to be had in the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? I do not apologize. I do not feel I'm any better than anybody else. But I am not ashamed to own that I am of the number who believes that the initial physical sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I am not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to include that in our statement of faith. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Let's begin the journey. And behold, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Each of the four Gospels contain the direct statement that the Lord Jesus is the one who shall baptize with the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the ascension, because it plays a great part in this biblical drama. John 16 and 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This was some of the most troubling news the disciples could have ever heard. They did not want him to go away. But yet he said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." After the Spirit had been poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter confirmed the exact fulfillment of this fact. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33. "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." The psalmist in his day saw this event and wrote about it. Psalm chapter 118, verse 19 through 21. He writes, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." God allowed the psalmist to see that gate that the Lord would go through on Ascension Day. Psalm 68, verse 17 and 19. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." I'm glad God used that word of rebellious in there. I don't feel left out now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us willingly got into this, and some of us came into this kicking and screaming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us received so easy, and others had to beat the devil out of us and then beat the Holy Ghost into us. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise God. We go to the altar to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And somebody would say, hold on, brother, hold on. And somebody on the other side would say, turn loose, brother, turn loose, turn loose. Amen, Lord, send the fires. And somebody on the other side say, send the rain. I didn't know whether I was supposed to turn loose or hold on. I didn't know whether I wanted rain or fire. But I finally got to the place I knew I wanted God. And when I got to that place, God came and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! He filled me with His Spirit. A scene from the Ascension is recorded in other Psalms. Psalm 24, verse 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now this is the other side of Ascension morning. When He led them out as far as to Bethany, they sung a hymn, and while they were singing, a cloud received Him out of their sight, and they saw Him ascend into heaven. Psalms chapter 66, chapter 24, verse 7 through 10, describes what happened after He got out of their sight and ascended to the throne room presence of God. He entered the gates, and heaven's choir greeted Him. Oh, lift up your gates. Lift up your gates. Let Him in. Hallelujah. Redemption is about to be accomplished. Let Him in. Let Him in. We can only imagine our Redeemer's triumphant progress from His ascension until He gave the first mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But first of all, there's an order of business, because He didn't just go away to make us feel lonely or to make us feel good either. He went away for a purpose. He came to this earth for one specific purpose, to die for our sins. Yes, He healed people while He was here. Yes, He taught people while He was here. Yes, He did many wonderful works while He was here. But His goal, His purpose, was to die on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have our sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. Anything that would threaten to deter Him from that, He had no part of it, wanted no part of it. Simon Peter had just received a glorious revelation. He asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus exalted in praise and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. But in just a few moments, Jesus started talking about His mission, the cross. And Peter rebuked Him and said, this will never happen to you. And Jesus, using the strongest language He could possibly use, said, get thee behind me, Satan. You talk about having a mood swing. Simon Peter went from high to extremely low in just a matter of a few moments, did he not? From high to low. First order of business recorded in Hebrews 9, verse 11 through 15. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We pick this storyline up in the very first lines of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, doesn't need my help, doesn't need your help, doesn't need the help of the angels, don't need anybody's help, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, come on, people, come on. Say hallelujah, say praise the Lord, say something to magnify your Savior. He did it for you and I. He did it for you and I. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul takes up the sweet refrain. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The day of Pentecost was regarded as the final evidence Jesus was alive, had been received into heaven, and was seated on the right hand of the Father's throne. And they preached it everywhere. A living and glorified Christ had so baptized them. His physical presence was absent when he baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it was certainly not unfelt. There were physical manifestations to attest the reality of the experience. And the Lord continued. He continued to baptize others in the same way. Samaritans, Romans, Roman soldiers, Greek converts, wise men of Greek nature, and others afar off, he continued to baptize. The Holy Spirit even penetrated the invincible walls of the Roman dictatorship, personified by Caesar himself. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly those that are of Caesar's household. Hallelujah. That's where Paul was when he was writing this to the Philippian church. He was behind bars in Caesar's prison. But he uses the word chiefly. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, friend, primarily, it means primarily. It means particularly. It means especially. It means most of all. Chiefly those of Caesar's household. You may think God doesn't have one single soul left in the government of the United States. But I tell you, there are people in places of prominence that love God with their hearts. They're saved. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're vocal. And they won't be shut up. They're there. They're there. And they're not all Pentecostal. I sat out a few days ago with a man who is a Catholic man. He is, I promise you, the highest ranking government official I will ever sit down across the table and have lunch with. Catholic man. Now, brilliant, one of the most brilliant minds I've ever encountered. But imagine this, your pastor. The one who holds the PhD, FUD. Sat down, and I love it. I love it when the conversation gets intense, because you can tell you're connecting. Because he leaned over his lunch and did like this. And I leaned over mine, and we talked about the things of God and God's goodness and God's power and God's grace. I'm going to tell you, Paul wrote it and said, chiefly those that are in Caesar's household. Hallelujah. I tell you, the gospel is alive and well. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is still on the throne. Can somebody say amen? Glory to God. I must not stop long. I must go on. Philippians 4:21 is where we are. I need to move on. There's a lot of unrest and uncertainty about the times we're living in. This country's mad race to evict God from his house, but God is not wringing his hands. Caesars have come and gone, but Christ lives on in the lives of his people. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in the church today. The Holy Spirit in the church today. In writing the book of Acts of the Apostles, Luke emphasizes the Spirit 55 times. 55 times in the book of Acts, Luke emphasizes the Spirit's ministry. You know, I've often wondered about this. They call this book, the people who got the book together, the Bible together and everything, they call it the Acts of the Apostles. Shouldn't they have called it the Acts of the Holy Spirit? The Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Proper title, yes, but I didn't have anything to do with it. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's got to do this. He's got to be the source of all that we do for Christ. In his writing, this last treatise, Luke emphasized the ministry of the Holy Spirit through common, everyday men and women. I've said it a lot of times. Ladies and gentlemen, the day of the spiritual superstar is over. God is going to pour His Spirit out, and He is pouring His Spirit out on common, everyday people. We don't need superstars. We need people who love God with all their heart and are willing to serve Him, no matter where that service takes place, no matter how well it pays or how bad it pays or whatever. We need people to love God for who He is and serve Him because He said, I want you to serve me. Spirituality is not for status. It's for service. Amen? It's for service. It's a mistake to assume that the Holy Spirit only uses mighty men and women of God. The Holy Spirit uses whosoever will and will make themselves available for His service. And as we are filled with the Spirit, He can lead us into many ministries. And every member of the body of Christ should have a ministry. The Holy Spirit wants to work through all believers. His fullness gives us the boldness to serve and witness for others. I know I'm a dreamer. I realize I am a dreamer. But listen, I am old enough to remember the day when people got so miserable because God was dealing with them to do a certain thing in the body of Christ that they would finally break down and come to the pastor and say, I can't sleep at night. I've fasted and I've prayed. I can't get away from this. I believe I'm supposed to. And then they say, I believe God's calling me. That's the kind of people you lack to have in your congregation. Not the kind of people who sit there on their haunches and glare at you Sunday after Sunday. Not the kind of people who sit there and say, well, if He would come up for me with something to do, I'd be glad to do it. I am not your boss. Jesus Christ is supposed to be your Lord. Get acquainted with Him. Thank you. Man. Oh. God wants to work through all believers. All believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. It's the flagship of Pentecost. It's the Magna Carta of the Holy. It's the Declaration of Independence. It's the most beautiful document concerning the Holy Spirit of all. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all. I'm going to say it with me. All with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In today's vernacular, we divide the church into ministers and lay people. But lay people full of the Holy Ghost are always assigned to ministry. God does not save people and fill people with the Holy Ghost for them to look pretty, but to be useful. Are you with me this morning? I'm lonely up here. God saves us and fills us with the Spirit because He wants to use our lives to bear fruit and bring forth results. That's what He does. He calls us. Everyone, by the way, I've had so many positive comments about last Sunday morning sermon. I wish I could say I preached it, but I didn't. But I want to tell you, wasn't that absolutely one of the most wonderful treatments of the subject of Leah that you've ever heard? Powerful. Well, I'm gonna poke my pastor George O. Wood again a little bit here. He has listed some of those ministries that lay people filled with the Holy Ghost are doing in the church today. And I emphasize the word some of the ministries because there are so many others that we could talk about today, but here are some that he listed. Lay people, visit the sick, feed the poor, teach people to read. They teach students who have problems with their studies. Lay people help widows, adopt orphans, counsel troubled youth. They paint schools in their communities. They build buildings for young churches. They sew and cook to raise funds for the church. Lay people tell Bible stories to children in their neighborhoods. They have Bible studies in their homes. They meet with those who are divorced, pregnant outside of marriage, depressed or out of work. They fix people's broken bicycles or cars. Some doctors set up free medical clinics in local churches one night a week. Spirit-filled pharmacists cooperate with these free medical clinics. One or two evenings each week, Spirit-filled dentists do dental work for free. Others pray with those in need. Spirit-filled laity go to rest homes on Sunday afternoons and share the love of God with those who can't go to church. Spirit-filled ladies prepare meals for families who are facing a trip to the cemetery to bury a loved one. Spirit-filled laity drive church vans on Wednesday evenings and pick up little kids and bring them to church so they can hear about Jesus. Hallelujah! Thank God for people of the Spirit! Amen. And that is a short list. That's the beginning of it. Just a few of the things Spirit-filled lay people do. I regret that they call it lay people. It comes from the word laity, which it differentiates between laity and clergy. It's not people that are not full-time in preaching and proclamation. They call them laity, and it's a little shortened version, come lay people. No, no. Spirit-filled people don't lay around. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Tell you about the early church. The early church had very few of the things that we value today. We get it in our minds that we can't have church unless we got this, that, and the other. And all the stuff we usually major in are peripheral things. Secondary. They are stuff that a church that is on fire for God, usually stuff like that will flow out of it. But you see, we've reversed the process. We've got to go after and get our church just right. We've got to have this. And then we invite the Holy Spirit to come in and bless what we've assimilated. We got it backwards. I'm sorry, backwards. But when I grew up, it was backwards. It just sounded better back then. We want to say, God, here it is, Lord. Ta-da! Look what we've done. Now bless it, God. Bless our smarts. Bless our talents. Bless our money that we... Bless it all, Lord. Here it is, you bless it. That's wrong. Ask God for His blessing first. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Early church had very few of the things that we place value on today, yes. But the early church spread like a fire across the world. He spread like a fire across the world. What about our day? Let me tell you this, folks. God is still baptizing people of the Holy Ghost and fire in our day. Amen. Oh, it doesn't seem to... Brother Howth and I, it's this man of God. I love this guy. I'm glad he's here in my congregation. Maybe he'll get saved one of these days. He and I were visiting the other day about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the things of God, and we were talking about this business of having church and everything like that, and you know, about the Holy Spirit of God, and about God using different people and stuff like that, and people, you know, that we've always thought God couldn't use because they weren't of us. He said one time he was sick and there's a Catholic woman prayed for him and he got healed just like that. He said, you know, my initial reaction, God, you can't do that. Brother, I've done the same thing. God, you can't. But I tell you, I've lived long enough to see right here in this fellowship, God baptized a Baptist right there, a Catholic right there, and brought an Episcopalian in from off the street, and we bought him his first pair of shoes. God bless you, John Crump. God bless you, sir. God brought people into a Pentecostal church, and one night, that little Catholic gal gave a message in tongues, and that Episcopalian man gave the interpretation. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God will use whoever makes themselves available to be used, ladies and gentlemen. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody one time told me, said, you know, don't you feel lonely? There's such a few of you. Oh, my Lord. When the rapture takes place, the only way they can describe the crowd is a number that no man can number. That don't sound like lonely to me. Do you know that right now there are well over 600 million tongue-talking, Pentecostal, Christ-believing, honoring God with their lives? Over 600 million worldwide. That's over a half billion people. God is pouring out His Spirit everywhere. We went to a conference the other day, Dr. Mark Rutland, the new president of ORU. I praise God for that. That school is going to rock. Mark Rutland is a man of God. He is Pentecostal from the tip of his shoe to the top of his bald head. Balding head. Not totally bald yet, but he's thin. Mark Rutland said, have you ever preached a campaign? Dwayne Jones has probably done this, but Mark Gruntler said, have you ever preached a campaign in Africa? He said, we preached, I went over to minister in a campaign in Africa. And he said, now, you got to understand, the particular tribe where we were ministering, there were four different dialects that were represented at the meeting I was preaching. So I had four interpreters. First of all, I said what I was going to say in English. This guy said it in that dialect. This guy said it in that dialect. This guy said it in that dialect. And these people understood. And this guy said it in that dialect. So everybody got what I said. He said, by the time got back around to me, sometimes I forgot what I was going to say next. But he said, this was the way the service was going. And he said about midway through that service, they heard a ruckus. Some guy was coming up the walk, and he was of yet another dialect. But he had been out in the bushes, and he had been listening. And he was on his deathbed, practically. And he comes up and interrupts the entire service, and somebody interprets for him as he talks to Dr. Rutland, and he says, I want that Jesus that you've been telling all these people about. Are you getting this? He didn't understand any of the interpreters. Certainly didn't understand Mark Rutland. But somehow out in the edges, God loved that soul so much that he heard the word of God and understood what was being preached. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is not a wimp. He is God Almighty. Somebody say hallelujah. He is the Almighty God. Praise God. We'd use the term led that man to Christ. They didn't have to lead him to Christ. He came running to him. And God healed him, by the way. Think of Jesus. 600 million believers. And of course it's about speaking in tongues as the initial physical sign, but it's so much more. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I must move on, and I'm doing quite well. Thank God I'm doing quite well. I believe I'll get through by 12:30. Please fan yourself. You'll revive it a little bit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. It is an introductory experience. It is a crisis which should lead to a process of spiritual development. When we say, I've got it. Oh, finally I've got it. Yeah. Don't say it like this is the last of it. Don't say it like, well, I got it. I don't have to pray anymore. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, report for duty. So what do you want me to do now? Lord, I got it. What do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with my life? It leads to spiritual development. Psalm 139, verse 5 through 7. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me, the psalmist writes. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain into it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? It is the door into a new dimension of life. But the world beyond that door is so wide that its horizons are infinite. And we need to realize that the Spirit brings us into the dimension of eternity, the holiness of the Spirit into the dimension of absolute perfection, the power of the Spirit into the dimension of omnipotence, and the authority of the Spirit into the dimension of omniscient sovereignty. And yet it is possible for us to enter that realm and experience it at a personal level. Wow! A personal level. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Note the personal pronouns in this passage. Paul prayed that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When I was growing up, my mother was, of course, a woman of prayer, a woman of God, sought God and prayed her food in, prayed for everything. And she had a prayer buddy there in the church at Marlow. Her name was Maud Williams. And I knew when Maud Williams got to praying, stuff would get to happening. I had a great deal of respect for Sister Maud Williams. Her and my mother organized a prayer meeting one night for a lady that had gone to the hospital in Oklahoma City, and they had basically pushed her down the hall to die and left her there. Mother and Sister Maud and some of the other old prayer warriors got together and prayed all night long. The next morning they came in to remove the corpse. And the corpse said, I'm hungry. Have you ever seen a corpse eat? They fed her. And she said, hey, I feel great. I'm going home. And the corpse got up and went home. So, I want to give you that backdrop there. I'm talking about people that walked the walk, talked the talk, had a red phone. Sister Maud Williams came over to the house one day, and she called my mother Alice. Alice, she said, "Alice, I was praying this morning. God gave me a scripture for Larry." I was about 14 years old at that time. Boy, my ears perked up. Thought, what in the world has she heard from God about this? And it was this passage right here that I just read to you from Ephesians, that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. I do not apologize for the fact that I have as many friends outside the realm of Pentecostal experience as I do inside the realm of Pentecostal doctrine. I don't apologize for that. I thank God that I'm comfortable talking with them, preaching in their pulpits, witnessing with them on the streets. I thank God I'm comfortable because God has given me, this was my promise from the Lord. Comprehend means, it's from the Greek word katalambano, and it means to take eagerly, to seize, to apprehend, to possess. God has given me that blessed ability, and I'm not boasting in the flesh, but ladies and gentlemen, if people are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I can fellowship with them anytime, anywhere. Man. Listen, comprehend is not just merely understanding something. This is a relationship with someone. That's what it's about. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Someone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." John Lancaster wrote, "Oh, the wonder of it, that in this fragile earthen vessel I may possess this treasure. Here I may know the deep, irresistible surgings of the sea of divine fullness rolling in upon the shores of my little life." John chapter 16, verse 12 through 14, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." The Holy Spirit is a guide. I've read that verse a lot of times. And somehow or another, when I was studying for this message today, the word guide kind of came to life with me. Because we all need guidance. Always we need guidance. Always. And the guide, the job of the guide is to guide. The job of the guide is to explain and to take you into areas you're unfamiliar with, and by the time you're passing through that particular area, you'll be familiar with what he talks to you about. Are you with me? He's our guide. This is an old preacher, James A. Stewart, confronted by a young woman who confessed she truly loved. European Art Gallery one Saturday afternoon without a guide. I was keenly disappointed and bored. I said to myself, I do not know why people come from all parts of the world to visit this place and see this stuff. Sometime later, I was invited by other friends to tour the same art gallery as their guest. They employed a guide. And under his skillful instruction, the tapestries and paintings came alive. I was thrilled beyond words and kept saying to myself, "Wonderful, wonderful, amazing. No wonder people come from all over the world to visit this place." Then he said, "I remembered my previous experience.
I said to the young lady who found prayer to be a drudgery, what made the difference? She smiled and said, it was the guide. It was the guide. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, that is the key. That is the key. God said, I'm going to guide you into all truth. If there ever was a time in history that we need somebody to sort out the junk that we are confronted with daily, moment by moment, and impress upon our minds what is the truth, we need the Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth now more than we ever have needed Him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled. You don't have to be brilliant, popular, wealthy, talented, famous, physically beautiful. None of those things. Just hungry and thirsty. That's it. Hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty. There's so many scores of examples, and I'll not go into anything in detail, but so many scores of examples over the years. My wife and I have been preaching revivals or pastoring churches, and somebody got hungry for God and began to linger and tarry and began to ask questions and began to pray and present themselves to the Lord, began to do altar time. And the next thing you know, God filled them the Holy Ghost. Right here, right on this very spot, just a few nights ago, service had been dismissed. And Selena Miracle stood right here at this very spot. I looked down from the pulpit after we'd prayed the dismissal prayer, and I looked at her and I thought, goodness sakes, a gracious, alive. She's ready to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You could see it on her face. She wasn't in a hurry to go anywhere. She was just standing there, pressing in, preparing her mind, her heart. And I tell you what, it was a beautiful experience. About 15 or 20 minutes later, when four or five people were still gathered around, and she went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit God gave the utterance. Can you rejoice in the Lord for this? Are you rejoicing in the Lord for this? Hallelujah. When we were in Tahlequah pastoring the church in Tahlequah, I had a radio program. There was a Church of Christ woman started coming to the service. She sat toward the back of the church. She would always sit back there, and she would always leave before I'd have a chance to talk with her, shake hands with her. One Sunday, I noticed that she had moved forward a little bit, and I thought, oh. And then the next Sunday, she was a little closer. Next Sunday, I noticed she was in the altar over here. I thought, oh, praise God. She was crying. She was weeping. No, she didn't go through to the baptism that morning. But I tell you what she did do. At least she didn't go through it to the baptism in the service that morning. Praise the Lord. She left that service, started home, lived out on the lake, started home, and began to weep uncontrollably. She pulled over to the side of the road. She leaned over the steering wheel and began to pray and began to praise the Lord. In a little while, my phone rang, and she told me what she had done. And she said, Pastor, I don't know about all this. I'm not familiar with your terminology, and I'm not familiar with the Holy Ghost, and I wouldn't have been raised in this. I don't know. But she said, I was sitting at the side of the road with my head bowed over my steering wheel. I was sobbing like a baby, and I was praising the Lord and loving Him with all my heart. And all of a sudden, I couldn't talk in English anymore. She said, Pastor, it sounded like baby talk. I didn't know what I was saying, Ladies and gentlemen, that will square with solid biblical teaching, because he that speaketh in the Spirit speaketh mysteries. We do not know the language of the Holy Spirit, but there is a God in heaven who knows, and God knows what language he wants to give you. But are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I guarantee you one thing, if you're just waiting for the preacher to get shut up so we can pray the benediction and get out of here, you're not hungry. You're not thirsty enough. I love this quietness that just came over the house, because I just nailed several of you. You got all God you want. God, give me this much. Not too much now, God! I can't take this. Just give me this much. God wants to give you not a trickle. He wants to give you a river. He wants to flow in your belly and out of your belly rivers of living water. That's what you need, is that rivers of refreshment. Loving God. Say, preach, I don't know a whole lot. No, you don't need to know a whole lot. You need to be hungry. I couldn't tell you the difference between the nutritional value between broccoli and green beans. But I guarantee you one thing, I'll eat both of them at the same meal if I'm hungry enough. Are you with me? All I need to do is to just show up at the table, and whatever Helen puts on the table, I have a way of taking care of, because I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? What we're going to do, we're going to believe God to baptize someone in the Holy Spirit this morning. We're going to believe God to baptize people in the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm not going to make it happen. You ain't going to make it happen. But I've obeyed God, and the word is going forth. And if you're ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're hungry for the Holy Spirit, I want you to be the first to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come to the altar and kneel at one of these altars right now, quickly. If you're hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come right now. Get up and walk down to these altars right now and present yourself to the Lord. Amen. Brandon, sit down, son. You already have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're all right. I wish I could get everybody to worship the Lord like Brandon does. Puts his heart into it. Amen. I'm talking about people this morning that have never spoken in tongues. You've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you will receive. Is everybody happy? Let's stand. Let's go to the house. You're dismissed.